summer. Just one summer, please.
I'm talking about a good time here. An entire summer at the beach and getting paid to boot.
We finally got a chance for someone a little class. I say we do it.
Well, let's vote on it.
Making it is their dream.
We better not blow this audition.
This place is heaven.
This summer is their chance.
Dude, yo, can't you be subtle?
Who the hell are you, people?
I'm Jenny Lee. We're here for the audition. We have come a long way. We deserve our shot up there.
They're playing for what they want.
See where I grew up, people usually end up where they started. And I've got to take it out.
And having a wild time getting it.
Where's the dip? All the dips are dancing.
I think you're really different.
I can work really hard to be the same.
Come on, Jen, we want all the filthy details. Use all the bad words.
One band, one dream, one summer.
So what'd the guy say? What do you think he said after seeing the best band around?
Justine Bacon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Bad Meaning Bad or Bad Meaning Good. And today I am here with my co-host Derek, and we are watching a little known movie from 1988 called Satisfaction. But before we get into that, Derek, do you want to tell the people a little about what you do and where to find you?
I'm Derek, and I'm all over the world like bad luggage. I host the Ratchet Book Club podcast, where I read hood classics and good classics. I also host the Return to Oswald podcast series, where we discuss television shows and recap them episode by episode, season by season. So far we've done Oz, Playmakers, and we're now starting the fifth season of Orphan Black. I do a show called Hindsight, where we discuss movies that we saw when we were kids, and we watch them again to see if they're still as good as we thought they were. I do that one with my homeboy Brandon. I do the Return to Oswald podcast network with Brandon and my friend Scar. I do a show called Unburdened, where three black men sit down and talk about mental health and things that we need to shed in order to be better men, supporters, fathers, allies, all of that. The only rules are there's no homophobia, no transphobia, no racism, and no misogyny allowed. I do a show called Storytellers, in which we create a story. It combines the age-old game of telephone with the art of storytelling, and it's really dope. That was five. I do a show called Single Simulcast, which is a pop culture podcast with my homegirl Shante. I do a show called Single Serving, the Single Serving Show, where we try a different genre of podcasting every episode. And if we don't like it, then we'll never do it again. And then I have two other ones, but they are kind of on long hiatus. However, one of them I do urge you to listen to because it's gone through three seasons. It is called Sin and Solace. It's a dramatic serial that I wrote, an audio drama that I wrote about an assassin named Jeremiah Sinclair and his best friend, Trevor Solace Salento. I'm really proud of that one. And the last one is The Dream Team, which is three of the best comedians you've ever met, sitting down and talking once a week about anything under the sun, and it was pretty spectacular as well.
Cool. For lots of things for people to check out.
I'm sorry, you know what, they can go to linktree.com/sscast, and all of the links to literally all of the shows are available there.
Cool. Good little one-stop shop. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't work nearly that hard, so other than this, my only podcast is called Recap Madness Podcast, and it is myself and two other Black women who are close friends, and we just recap our favorite TV shows, moments, things like that. Our current season just launched last week, and we are recapping the final season of Motherland Fort Salem. So you can find us on Twitter at Recap Madness.
Okay, what's that show about?
Motherland, it is a show about a group of witches. So it's kind of a fantasy where the US takes witches and makes them the army,
Oh,
essentially.
okay.
Yeah.
And where can you find it at?
That is on Freeform.
Okay.
And
A lot of
it
good
airs
stuff is
on
on
Monday.
Freeform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can catch it on Hulu the next day, but it's on Freeform.
Okay. I might have to talk with you later about the three of y'all joining me for storytellers. That might be interesting.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that for sure. Cool. So you
So.
know where to find us outside of this. So let's do a little background on Satisfaction. So Satisfaction is a 1988 movie, and it starred Justine Bateman, Liam Neeson, a very young Julia Roberts, Trini Alvarado, Britta Phillips, who is also the
Jim.
singing voice of Jim,
Yes.
and Scott Coffey.
I'm sorry. You just named, and Blondie. Blondie
Yes.
is there somewhere. In the midst of all of these wonderful names and burgeoning actresses and a genuine superstar in the world of acting, Justine Bateman got the lead role.
And that is why I made this movie.
And they wanted her to sing. Like, you got Jim from Jim and the Holograms, and you got Blondie, and you're like, Justine, what can you play? Can you play a guitar? No, cool. Can you play drums? No, not that either. Okay, we got to figure something out. Here, take this cowbell. You take this cowbell and you just bang the hell out of it. And we're gonna have somebody else sing and you're just gonna sing over their tracks.
They had two actual singers in this, but it starred Justine Bateman. Trini Alvarado does Broadway.
Oh my God. So, okay, Justine Bateman, Family Ties. That's it.
Yeah.
Where from Family Ties did they get the idea that she was a singer who could lead a musical?
Yeah, she was just young and popular. Like,
Was
that's.
she though?
I guess for 1988, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not her fault that she aged like fresh spinach with the bag open. I mean, by the time this movie came out, like you said, Julia Roberts looked really young. Like, I looked it up, and this was Julia Roberts' first movie role.
Yeah, it was definitely her first credited, like, big screen role. She was 19. She was a
Justine
baby.
Bateman looked like she was about 31 and just tired of this stuff. She just looked real. Like, the ending of this movie was so abrupt that I feel like she was just like, that's it, I'm out.
It was a lot. It's a lot.
I know you have notes, but I have a billion questions, starting with why. Why is this one of your movies? What exactly put this on your radar?
I have a thing for like the all the 80s like girl band movies.
Okay.
Introducing the Fabulous Stains, this, like, I love those movies. They're all terrible, but I
Okay.
will watch every one of them.
Say less. You got me. Okay. All right, for sure. 'Cause I was watching, and I mean, when you have a movie where you go to IMDb and nobody's even done a synopsis for it, that's really saying something. And this movie had a really good cast in Justine Bateman. And it should have worked. It should have worked better. Wow. I just saw a picture of Justine Bateman, and she looks like, you know those pictures they put up on Facebook of people who are on meth to try and scare you from doing anything with your life? Like, she literally just looks, oh my God, I feel so
Like an
bad for
old
her
Dare
face.
poster.
Yes. And she was born in 66, which means she should not have looked as old as she did in 1988. She was 22 and she looked 33. Every time I say her age is going to go up because I just think about how she looked amongst all these other kids. Michael De Lorenzo was in this movie from New York Undercover, the Mexican
Yeah,
guy.
good old Bunny Slots.
Right? They called him that, I figured, because his one sex scene lasted like 32 seconds. But we're not going to go into that. I'm sorry. I know you have notes. I'm going to just sit back and just nod a lot.
I am cool with freestyling this, but we should probably, you brought up a good point. There is no synopsis, so we should probably talk about what this movie is about and leave with that.
Mm-hmm.
So Satisfaction is a movie where there's this, basically a girl band decides that they're going to take their last summer before they're all like recent high school graduates, or at least two of them are. So they decide they're going to take their band and go try to audition and have this summer gig near the beach as their kind of last hurrah before one of them goes off to college.
One of them, yes. Just one.
One of them. Because poor Daryl is not going anywhere, but we'll talk about that.
One of them is a straight up a criminal. Like
two of them didn't graduate at all, I guess. But yeah. So that's basically the whole movie. They go down to this beach town for the summer and try to audition for this guy and be the house band for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
But let's talk about how they actually meet this guy. Well, you know what? Let's not. We'll get there. Spoiler alert. They don't knock.
Yeah. So that's a good starting point. Well, so at the beginning of this movie, our headliner, Jenny, is giving the valedictorian speech at her high school graduation, while the other two members of the band, Mooch and Billy, are at the docks, like antagonizing a gang member for unknown reasons, who ends up pushing their van into the water.
Yeah, so me seeing this for the first time, being a sound mind and body, when I watched this movie, I thought that he pushed their van into the water because they were barging in on his vending machine gang. Because I thought he had said, we run the vending machines in this neighborhood, and then they pushed their car in the water. And I was like, that's so stupid. It couldn't have happened. So I just figured I was tired. But then I went back and listened, and they did mention vending machines. And I don't know what kind of gangster Bunny is, but I wouldn't be scared of him if he's running a vending machine racket. And are they from Jersey? Where are they? Like New York? Like it looks like where the Warriors fought through to get back home, but I don't know exactly where.
It was a vague city with a river.
It was River City vagueness.
That's all we know.
Mm-hmm. They were like, do we have Justine Bateman on board? That's it. We don't even have to write anything. We got Justine, y'all. It's Justine. Have you seen her? Sha-na-na-na. We got Justine. Let's go. Oh, and we got somebody named Julia Roberts.
Like some girl named Julia. I don't know. We don't know her. But she is, Julia Roberts plays Daryl, who is also graduating from high school on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Not valedictorian, though.
Mm-mm.
But she does get proposed to at graduation.
Mm-hmm. By a guy who looks like he's about Justine Bateman's age, you know, 36.
Yeah, I feel like he was like nearing 40.
Yeah, but that's the thing about 80s movies. Like, they don't think it's nasty to have an old-ass dude creeping up on a young lady.
No, so, as we will learn later in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And in real life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes.
But cut to the band. So after graduation, they immediately go to band practice, I guess. Because, you know, they don't explain any of that. So. They graduate, go to band practice. We find out that they're down a keyboardist, and the band is at the bottom of a river. So Jenny's like, you know what? We should just let this go. Which probably would have been the smartest move. But that does not happen because there would be no movie. So the rest of the band votes to go ahead and push forward. They want to do this. They want to have their last summer of fun.
Yeah, so there's a part where this band is playing in the garage or whatever, and they say, you're offbeat. And she says, I like being offbeat, which is literally the whitest thing I've ever heard a musician say. like I'm hitting the upbeat every single time. You can't stop me. I like being offbeat. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, at one point I was tweeting along with this. I was like live tweeting it. And then I realized two things. One, nobody else heard of this movie. Two, I just want to sit and bathe in this that's happening in front of me. So yeah.
Yeah, this does not exist on a streaming platform anywhere for good reason.
Yeah, very good reason. So you have it on DVD.
And how? I have the French DVD.
Oh.
I have the French version. I don't even have the US version.
I could see. Yeah. I had to get the French version of Payback, the Mel Gibson movie, because they never put that on DVD in the States.
Yeah. It's Satisfaction made it to DVD in the States, but the US versions are all selling for like $70 on eBay, and it is not worth it.
Exactly. There's only like, I mean, trust me, it's a good movie, but it's not that good of a movie. I mean, there's a point where the guys like help a wounded Vietnam veteran learn to walk again by giving him some money, and Mel Gibson reaches into the hat and takes all his money out. And then the dude stands up and he's like, hey, and then Mel Gibson chokes him out. And is like, shut up. I healed you. It's that kind of a movie. It's way better than Satisfaction. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I shouldn't have. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm going to mute myself for like 3 seconds as a punishment starting now.
While Derek is on mute, Mooch and Billy end up stealing Bunny Slots' van. So they're antagonizing this man again for no reason whatsoever.
Was that the point where the Doberman was chasing them and they sang Amazing Grace at it to calm the Doberman? No, that was when they were in the house. When they were in his house, they sang Amazing Grace. So then the van happened right around the same time that Jenny goes across the street from her brownstone, from one side of the street to the other, to this kid named Nikki, who's also like 29, and asked him to come play in her band. And he's like, why haven't you ever asked me to play in your band? And she was like, I don't know, I'm doing it now. And she's like, do you want to go to the beach with us and play in a rock and roll band? And he was like, I hate sand and I hate rock and roll. I've been playing classical music since before I could talk. And then the next thing you know, he's in the band.
Yeah, like, he is very much against it at first. She has never talked to this man in the entire time they've lived across from each other, but he's in. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do things in Satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. The satisfaction in the name is Jenny's satisfaction, because everything in this movie literally revolves around what Jenny wants to do. And if Jenny doesn't want to do it, then everybody else just stops what they were doing, like literally. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It is all about Jenny.
All about Jenny. Justine Bateman. Oh my God, this is every person's dream. I swear she probably signed up to be the girl who led Teen Witch before she got this role. She was like, I can look 14. Fine. No, I can look 18-ish. Fine, I can look 25. Final offer. Take me or lose me. I'm Justine Bateman. I'm on Family Ties. Sha-na-na. You know who I is.
Yeah, I feel like that's the only way she could headline a movie. Was like Family Ties was super popular, like right before this movie was made.
Exactly.
Because it would have never happened otherwise.
Not on her best day.
And then we get to my favorite scene in the movie, which is the requisite road trip montage where the band sings Aiko Aiko together.
Yeah, I went out the room. I think I ran.
That was a good choice, actually.
So 5, I'm counting in my mind, 5 white people, 4 white women and 1 white man hop into a stolen van that they don't know was stolen and putt their way down the coast to somewhere singing, hey, go, hey, go, I go. Why? Don't you have a radio? Why are we doing this? what exactly is the use? You know what? That's the, again, I just sat there and watched and I was like, they made this movie an hour and 45 minutes long.
To be fair, I don't think that van hit, the van had seats, so maybe no radio.
It's stolen. Like, yo, what do you want out of a stolen vehicle? What, like, there's no seats because they literally probably put stolen vending machines back there. Like, you're asking for a lot. Bunny ran the vending machine game in his area. Stop asking questions, people. Just roll with it.
It had a working engine, and that is all they needed.
Yep.
But they make it to their destination, which is, like, vaguely Florida-ish. We don't know where any of these places are, but it looks kind of Florida-y. And they go to the bar where the audition is supposed to take place, and guess what? It's closed.
Yep, that's what you get. Because, hey, nobody called ahead to see what the hours were of operation. There's no internet back then. And hey, if there was, there'd probably be an APB out on y'all for driving around in a stolen car and crossing state lines and, you know, just doing all sorts of. This is a magical white person movie. At the point where they stole that car and got away with it for at least 3 weeks.
And Jenny manages to use, well, the kids won't know what this is, but a phone book. It's a relic of the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
That used to contain phone numbers and addresses.
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny finds the owner in the phone book and they just decide, well, the bar is closed, so let's head over to his house. Because that makes sense.
Because that's the safest thing to do. Let's totally do that. Safe. Let's just, you know, show up at his house late night in Florida. Nobody's got guns in Florida. It's the worst that could happen.
I mean, he's probably not a serial killer.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's going over.
And he's super rich. It's not like he owns something big. He owns a bar in the 80s. And we don't know how he's super rich. Liam Neeson is just super rich. And can't, I guess in 88, his special set of skills didn't include acting. Because the dude mailed this role in. He said in the trivia that I read, he said that he was only in this movie so he could be surrounded by pretty women.
That tracks, because his special set of skills did include being a predator and dating a 19-year-old Julia Roberts when he was like 36.
Oh, yeah. And knew it. And. If Jenny just graduated from high school in this movie, then he's also dating like a 17-year-old in this movie. So, yeah, let's walk it out. Let's talk about it. You know, let's have that discussion. Like, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So. Chris Hansen, unfortunately, wasn't around then, so couldn't get him on to catch a predator.
But a snarling Doberman was, and that's when they sang Amazing Grace at it, which is where Keenan Ivory Wayans probably got the idea for Low Down Dirty Shame when he sang James Brown to a bunch of Rottweilers.
That is very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Billy saved the day because this man apparently leaves his doors unlocked, but he has an attack dog, so it's cool. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, you know, Billy calms the dog down by singing Amazing Grace, and they, for some reason, decide to just go in and make themselves at home.
We live here now. This is our house. We're like the three little bears, except we're white, and we've already stolen a car. And now we're going to break into a house in a completely different country or a completely different state. Because we crossed state lines with a stolen vehicle that we stole from a gang member who pushed our car into the river. Yeah, that'll get them on our side.
This can only happen with the confidence of a bunch of white kids.
Oh my goodness.
But he returns home soon after and he's drunk. And he thinks he's being robbed again, but he's weirdly calm about the whole situation.
Very.
Just casually, am I being robbed again? Like, I have so many questions because, A, how often do you get robbed?
You know, not enough by pretty 17-year-old girls, apparently.
And B, if you've been robbed before, why don't you lock your doors?
Because otherwise, how are the pretty 17-year-old girls going to get into his house?
I guess that makes sense. He doesn't have to work hard on his predatory behavior because they just walk right in.
Yeah, it tracks.
And for some reason, even though these five strangers are in his house, he's just like, whatever. They tell him they're there for the audition. They're a day early. And when they tell him they don't have anywhere to go, he's like, yeah, I guess you can stay in this storage shed or whatever. That conveniently has five beds in it.
Exactly. And then they immediately get in there and try and throw Nikki out. You got to get out while we change. And he's like, we can all change and just turn our backs. I'm not going out there. No, look, there may be five women in here or four women in here, and I should respect your autonomy, but it's cold outside and it's cold in here. So everybody change all together and we'll just turn our backs. And Jenny's like, yeah. So it happens.
They just get over that whole argument really quickly. It's like, whatever.
Right?
It's late. Let's just do it.
It's late. We've already broken into somebody's house. Let's stop pressing our luck. Just lay down.
Just try again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Whose house are we breaking into tomorrow? Nobody's. Just stop. Shh. Just rest.
So they stay. And they stay. And they go to the beach the next day. And they are all, like, I guess, very inappropriately dressed. Like, I don't know, how did they plan to audition at the beach and spend the summer at the beach, but nobody brought beach-appropriate clothes?
I don't know what their plan was, because we've never actually heard a plan, except we're just going to show up at this random bar and be the band. Which honestly sounds like a five-year-old's idea. Like, we're going to run away to the circus, but it's we're going to run away and be the band for a bar that we can't even get into because I'm 17 and she's 19 and she's like 42, but she's supposed to be 17. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around, like, Justine Bateman only being a year older than Julia Roberts.
She told them without hesitation. She was like, look, you better not make me too much older than this pretty girl right here. She's not a pretty girl. She's a pretty woman. Bob, I got it. Look what I said. I said, so the 50-year-old, yeah, I'm pointing to Justine. The 50-year-old said, you better make me no more than a year older than this pretty girl. And I said, no, she's a pretty woman. And then they were in the back practicing and they were like, oh, no, that's hooked on a feeling. Sorry. So what we're going to do is we're going to take her, but not her. Definitely not Justine. Don't tell her. Don't tell her until after the movie. But we're going to take this one over here. And we're going to make her a star. I am going to start writing a movie in the bathroom so Justine can't see me. And it's going to be called, wait for it, Pretty Woman. Can you get your cousin Dick to come out and work on it with us? Yeah, Dick Gear. He wants to be called Richard now. Sure, whatever. Dick, can you get him to work with Julia on this movie? Dope. Let's go.
I will say Julia only had like five lines in this whole movie. But she was the star. Oh my God.
One of the things I tweeted on here is that I don't think Julia Roberts has said five lines in this movie yet. And she did not. I counted. And nope. She was just, I don't understand. Now, you know, looking back, maybe. Whatever. Not a lot of people look back at this movie. But now, I don't understand how you see somebody like Julia Roberts, how she auditions for a role and you're like, we're going to give you the one where there's no lines, and the lines you get, you're going to sound really stupid.
Yeah. They were like, just be stupid and pretty.
just stupid and pretty. Can you be stupid and pretty? Can you? Can you? Look at me in the eye and say, gag me with a silver spoon. Yep, she can be pretty and stupid. Let's go. That was it. That was the whole situation.
I appreciate that she still had the deep Smyrna accent. This was before she worked on her accent.
Exactly. Later in life, we would all see her at in Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, and Ocean's 13, trying to swallow that accent on purpose because, you know, she was Julia Roberts playing Julia Roberts. But now she's just playing a doofus who only gets four lines in the movie, maybe. Good times.
She made those four lines work for her, though.
She did. Look, talk about secure the bag. If you take four lines and you make them into the movie career that white women treasured for like 30 years, real talk, Julia Roberts was that woman. Meanwhile, me, I mixed her up with Gina Davis on like a regular basis. When I first saw A League of Their Own, had to stop for a second. Is that Julia Roberts? No, that's Gina Davis. Okay, cool. They look just alike from a distance. It's until you get up on Gina Davis and you realize she has bigger cheeks and eyes and a different face. But from a distance, they look just alike. Curly hair, white, you know the routine.
This was Julia's elite hair era, though.
Yes. Like that hair had never looked more buoyant than it did.
Yeah. That hair was great for a decade.
Yep. And meanwhile, Justine's hair was falling out from old age. Because, you know, she was 59.
I'm never going to get over them only being a year apart in real life.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I gotta look. Oh my God. Yeah. So she was born in 1966 and Julia Roberts was born
67.
In 1967. And Julia Roberts still looks like she could step up on stage and model. And Justine Bateman just looks like this is your brain on drugs. And this is your body on drugs. And this is your family on drugs. Like, look at my life. Sha-na-na-na.
Maybe family ties was just really stressful work.
I mean, somewhere out there, her brother is like, yo, I did all these shows and I asked you repeatedly if you wanted to join me for any of them. And you were just like, no. Why did you say no? Why did you say no?
She said yes to satisfaction, though.
She couldn't get me, though. That was a problem.
Well, that's what happens when you go to the beach in a leather jacket, jeans. Oh, my God.
And fall in love with Liam Neeson. Like, okay, let's keep going. I can make fun of these people forever. And it's completely unfair to the listeners who don't, they probably do want to hear me make fun of these people, but they want to know if this movie, like what else happens in this movie. So the floor is yours. I'm going to just sit here and nod for, you know what? I'm going to nod on mute for approximately 6 seconds.
So where were we? They're at the beach, inappropriately dressed. Mooch is in a leather jacket and boots, like, it's not 90 degrees outside or whatever. And that night they go to their audition and, you know, the dude, Martin, that's his name. I don't think we discussed his name earlier. Martin tries to blow them off and he's like, all right, whatever. Gives in and says they have 10 minutes to play. So we get up there. They have a pretty rough start at first, but they find their groove. Sing their song, and of course, because it's their movie, they win. And the crowd's just eating it up. They love it.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. The crowd should have sat there and been like, is that when they play Mr. Big Stuff?
No, that comes later.
Okay, I hated that song. Like, I Every song that Justine sung made me mad. Not at her, just at the song selections that they chose to do that were all out of her vocal range. And they weren't hard songs. They're songs that 10 years later, somebody will watch this movie and be like, you know what's a good idea? Karaoke.
It was a lot of her just screaming into the mic.
Oh, God. So much screaming.
Like, I don't know why she was just screaming everything into the mic.
She wanted to be special. Everything.
It was weird. And they should have just let Britta do the singing.
They should have. Like, yo, it's simple. She could be the leader of the band, whatever. We don't care. But don't make her the lead singer of the band. She could still be important in the band and be in the back. Put her in the back. Put her in the back.
And this is why Julia Roberts was the smartest person in the movie. She had sense enough to say, I don't sing. I'm not going to sing. Put me on the bass, and I'm just going to do this over here.
I'm a do me. Y'all, I don't want to even try to embarrass myself. And Justine's like, I'll do it. Watch this. I can't get no sad.
It's just
the end scene.
A lot of volume. A lot of screaming. Right?
I don't even want to scream like she screamed, y'all. She screamed like it was heavy metal, almost.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not Rammstein.
Right. She was like, do you really want to hurt me? And it's like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, every song she took was a classic that she literally chewed the scenery in a bad way.
Yes. No shade to Rammstein, because I love them.
And they're the best. Yeah.
And it's the only time I've ever seen someone crowd surf in a boat.
Oh, do tell. Do tell me.
It was like a Baltimore show. Like, I don't know, that had to be like 6-7 years ago. And they crowd surfed, but they did it in an inflatable boat. Like, three of them got in the boat and like surfed all the way to the back and back up to the stage. It's great.
I tried to crowd surf once and something was nice enough to stop me from trying it. There's a rapper named Tech Nine, and he had a mosh pit for his show. Like, it's a really lively show. And so I was thinking about going into the middle of the pit. I'm glad I didn't. Somebody got cold cocked. Like, they get punched in those mosh pits. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's. I didn't know that the mosh pit was literally a fight club, but somebody caught one. And I was like, nope, I'll stay out here on the outskirts.
Yeah,
and just live my best life.
I stay out of the pit. If the pit forms where I am, I move.
Mm-hmm. Don't follow me, pit. I ain't said shit. Do not come with me at all, because I don't want none of that.
I am not cut out for the pit life.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in this club was either, because it wasn't that kind of show, even though Jenny tried to make it that way.
Yeah, she tried hard.
With her screaming.
Very much so.
But yeah, they win, because that's what happens in these movies. It's 1988. That's how this goes. It's a feel-good story about a band.
Is it the whole? Dreams
come true.
Oh, God. Look, she's stretching out. What's the funny thing about this is that we're literally stretching out the first 20 to 25 minutes of this movie. Because the rest of it is no plot.
Yeah.
It's just two guys, because Liam Neeson is one. The other one is Julia Roberts' boyfriend, who literally tries to force himself on her. And then all of a sudden they're about to get married. That was creepy. Two guys falling in love with minors. One girl, Britta, having a drug problem. Nikki falling in love with the other one.
Even though Mooch hates him for like 75% of the movie.
Right. And then out of nowhere, I think your clothes are nice. Oh.
That's another plot point. Like, so Daryl, like when Jenny goes to talk to her brother about wanting to do this, and her brother's like, no, you need to go to college. He's going through the bandmates and was like, one of
she's
them.
She's a slut. She's a druggie. She's like, stupid.
I'm like, I'm looking at the movie. I'm like, how is Daryl the town slut when she has had one boyfriend?
Because in the 80s, the rule was, if you don't get with me. So I'm thinking he tried to get with her and then failed. Or he liked her and she wouldn't give him the time of day. So all of a sudden she's a slut. I was just like, dude, you're just slut shaming women out of nowhere. Like, I didn't even know her body count. I was just like, this is what we're doing? This is what you're telling your sister? Like, one of your friends a slut, the other one's a druggie. And like, damn. Okay. You take the role of older brother really seriously.
It just came so out of left field. I'm like, what did Daryl do? What happened?
Right? Like, I know Julia Roberts is probably really pretty back then. She was probably a very pretty woman. But you don't get to call her that, homie. And if Jenny had listened, she should have been like, yo, we ain't doing that. Don't do that. But it turns out, as it all goes, Jenny don't really care about her friends.
Not at all. Like, so yeah, we can speed through the rest of this really, because there's no plot to speak of. But the main point of the plot was that Jenny falls in love with Martin out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Just basically because he was there.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, he tells her, you're a kid. And she's like, I'm not a kid. And he's like, you're a kid. And she's like, then I quit. And he's like, you're not a kid. And she's like, too fucking late, dog. I already said I quit. And then they fall in love.
And then he calls her a kid two more times.
Just to be safe.
So he knows.
Can't be with you, you're a kid. Now kiss me.
He knows this relationship is inappropriate.
Because you're a kid.
Because you're a child. And
you know, I've decided I'm never going to dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. Now kiss me. With your whole mouth, kiss me. Shoot the J. Shoot it. I'm sorry. I had to follow through with that one. It's just.
He even says at some point, like, I know we shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't even be paying attention to you. But.
Exactly. But I'm drawn in by your husky voice. And your 64 year old body and your mind. I'm not really sure. All I know is that at some point, for no reason whatsoever, Bunny shows back up in town. How he hunted them down, nobody knows. Also, let me try to remember. Billy tells them, like, again, 3 weeks in, oh yeah, we stole Bunny's van. You know, the van y'all all jumped in and wasn't like, hey, whose van is this?
Yeah, they asked no questions.
Zero. Just like, party up, let's go.
But Bunny might not want that van back now after Daryl and Frankie have been in it for like 2 days.
Yeah. It was. Look. Yeah, never mind. Nasty.
Just burn it.
The land of the unwashed.
Was there a bathroom in that shed?
Was there a bathroom anywhere in this movie? Like, everybody, did they bring changes of clothes? Like, what are we doing here? What exactly is happening? They live in a shed. The only one who's allowed access into the house is the house nigga, Jenny. She's the only one who can get into the main house. And she... The rest of them are just like, bring me back some food. Bring back something for the hood. Help me out. And she's like, I'm in love. And they're like, we were waiting to see when you were gonna find, when you were gonna finally go after him. He's old. She's a kid. Stop pushing this relationship, people. It's gross. It's like Drake talking with the girl from Stranger Things. It's nasty.
It would
Bobby
never.
Brown? Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah, that was it. Because Drake be texting little girls and don't nobody want to talk about it.
Like, why are you texting a child?
Exactly. Why are you saying I shouldn't be doing this while you're doing it? And somebody wrote these lines. That's the other thing. That's the thing that gets me every single time. Like, we talk about this, but somebody sat there and wrote these lines and then edited it and left those lines in there. And then they showed it to their, this was the 80s, so they showed it to their cocaine holder, and their coke holder was like, this is a great line. And then they gave it to Liam Neeson, and Liam Neeson was like, fuck it.
Because he was like, sure, real life.
Pretty much.
Do this.
Hey, Julia, can you run these lines with me in my Winnebago? Like,
I'm dating this child over here, so not far-fetched.
Not far-fetched at all. I date every child in the world.
Yeah, he's lucky that happened in 1988, because that would not fly now at all.
At all. Not just nasty.
Yeah. Like, what do you... And she looked like a baby. Like, mm-hmm. What could you possibly see in that child?
His own childhood.
Yeah. Ew. 36 dating a 19-year-old. No.
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 And I know somebody who was trying to justify it. Like, my mom and dad were that age group. And I was like, that doesn't make it okay. Like,
that's still predator behavior. Like, my grandfather married my grandmother when she was 16. He was a predator.
Yeah. You don't get to wipe that away just because it was your family.
Yeah.
Like, and just because this dude was a star, I don't know if Liam Neeson was a star in 1988, but you're still nasty. You're nasty. Fuck you gonna talk about with a 19-year-old?
Nothing. High school graduation.
Exactly. When did you graduate? Before you were born. Oh.
End of conversation.
Right. Do you watch My Little Pony? No. Do you watch Wall Street? No. Oh. Okay. End of conversation. Later on, they should have broke up.
It's just weird.
Yep.
But yeah, that's where we are in this movie. This weird predatory relationship between a recent high school graduate and some famous writer guy.
And when the shit falls apart, as it's wont to do, that's when she's like, I don't want to do this band shit anymore. We're breaking up. We're going back home. I don't want to do this club. And they're like, but we like it. And she's like, I said what I said. And so they're all like, okay. And Liam Neeson's like, this was wrong for us to do. And I'm glad you decided to go back to school. I never said I was going to school. I'm literally running away because I came to your house one night to give you something that I should never give to a man your age who I just met. And Blondie was there. Not singing Heart of Glass. She was just there. She didn't sing a song, not a lick. She was just there.
Just Debbie Harry chilling in the house. And they never did explain this relationship. So she's just in his house and we don't know who she is to him.
He was just like, yeah, her. Look, we shouldn't be doing this.
An adult has caught me.
Right.
In this inappropriate relationship.
Like, I swear that they spent their entire budget on getting Debbie Harris to show up for like 15 seconds.
Truly. Like, she was like, all right, it's a big enough check. I'll be here for this 15 seconds. Get this done.
Exactly. I'm about to get my 15 seconds of fame. And also, this is... this movie came out after she rapped. I look at Blondie sometimes and I think about the fact that she rapped. And it
Fab Five Freddy said it was cool.
The one black friend fucks it up for everybody, don't they? It's magic. Sha-na-na-na.
not the Family Ties theme, not the mashup.
Oh my God. Michael J. Fox is like, I want to, nope. I don't want no part of this. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
The juxtaposition of these two movies is like, because this was around the same time that he did Teen Wolf 2.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Wolf 2.
And the thing is, Teen Wolf 2 was not the best movie, but compared to this, I would literally listen to Oingo Boingo sing horrible music every day of the week compared to this shit.
Compared to this, Teen Wolf 2 was a masterpiece.
Right. Teen Wolf 2 was the why movie of all sequels. Like, why did this happen? And it is head and shoulders. It has a cohesive story. It has people who actually want to be there. It has people who can actually sing good music, singing the good music. It has somebody in it named Boop.
Well, we're stuck with Mooch.
Right. Oh, my God. I got no satisfaction from this movie.
No.
I felt like saying that. I thought that that was going to be a good line. I regret nothing.
So, yeah. The only other, I don't even want to call it a plot point because it's not. The only other plot point is Daryl trying to get with some dude in law school who invites mm-hmm. them to a party.
Mm-hmm. And that's when he tries to assault her. Right. She's like, what are you doing? And I don't know what he said, but it's the 80s, so I figure I know the words already. Come on, you were looking at me all day. You know you want it. That's how they write scripts in the 80s when somebody wants to have sex and wants to make somebody else fall in love with them. You were looking at me all day. You know you want it. I guess I do want it. End scene. Also, after Julia Roberts got famous, they came back and changed the name of this movie to Girls of Summer because Satisfaction was allegedly too sexual a name for a movie.
They also changed the cover.
Oh, God, I love that part.
Yeah, they changed the cover, too, to put her in the front.
With less than four lines in the movie. Maybe.
Yeah, like, she was not the star of this. Don't try to backtrack now, because you made a mistake.
Right. Oh, man. Justine Bateman was famous at the time for appearing in Family Ties. That's it.
That's it.
That's literally it.
Because I cannot name another Justine Bateman show or movie. So I feel like it was just Family Ties.
You mean it was just teen? Sha-na-na-na. Oh, it was horrible. I wanted to watch this movie because I wanted to see what the hell it was about. It was time of my life that I'll never get back. Jeff.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jeff, it's going to ask you if you think this movie was bad meaning bad or bad meaning good. What's your answer?
I'm going to say this one was just bad meaning bad.
Yeah. Yeah. NBC capitalized on Julia Roberts becoming a star by proclaiming in their ads for this movie, before she was a pretty woman, she was one of the girls of summer. They never mentioned Justine Bateman in the ad space.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. What? Liam Neeson has said he took this role after filming Suspect in 1987, where he played a mute derelict, just to be in the sunshine around pretty girls. He admitted that he still has not seen the film.
Predator behavior.
Oh, my God. He just won the Mac on the 19-year-old.
Predatory behavior.
Oh, boy.
His special set of skills.
Right.
I wouldn't even, like, why would you even admit that publicly? I just wanted to hang around the girls. The girls that are young enough to be your daughters.
Yeah, those ones. Do you know any more? Do you have them? Do you have them? Do you have any more? I take sizes 18 through. I should be ashamed of myself. Like, do you? Are there any more girls around here? Yeah, that one. No, she's got a voice like she smokes. Yeah, I already got to date her for fake in the movie. I want to date somebody for real. Julia, you're not a star yet, right? Perfect.
Your brother's not going to punch me in the face.
Right? Can anyone in your family blackball me? Perfect. I've got a certain set of skills, and they're all about preying on little girls.
Wild times in 1988.
Right.
Wild times. Yeah, so I think our verdict is this one was just bad.
Oh, no. It's worse than that. Literally, don't go looking for this movie. Don't try to find this movie. This movie is time in your life that you will never get back. If you really, 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 really need to watch this movie, what I want you to do is take a cold shower and a nap, and when you wake up, you'll feel different. I'm not giving this movie to anybody. I have a copy of it. I obtained it from Shara, and I'm deleting it off my computer. I'm not putting it on YouTube. I'm not putting this. You know what? Nope. I'm not putting this on YouTube. You know what?
I am an agent of chaos. So if you would like it, just hit me up and I will give it to you.
I was going to say, I went through this. This ain't so Hove did that. I went through this shit. Y'all should have to suffer too. That's only fair.
Yeah. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It doesn't exist. It is on no streaming.
She's the way, the truth, and the life.
I am the keeper of satisfaction.
Girls of Summer.
title chain. Sorry. Girls of Summer.
Oh, my goodness. Girls of Summer actually sounds worse to me than Satisfaction.
Yeah, because it's the creepy predator factor.
Right?
Oh, if not for that, God. It would be like a fun teen movie. But, you know, there's this predatory 36-year-old. So Girls of Summer doesn't really sound better.
No. Maybe it's also because of Grease with the Summer Loving song. I don't know. Fuck this movie. I like you as a person, but the next choice you have, I'm a look it up on IMDb before I say sure. I mean, okay. What else am I doing with my day? Let's go.
I have so many movies where this came from.
Let's party.
How do you feel about mermaid horror?
Mermaid horrors?
Mm-hmm.
Horror, like scary horror, mermaids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought something completely different. they all right.
Well, you know, it's kind of both.
Oh, man, that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but we'll see what I can put together.
Yeah, I dig that one out of the archives, too.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool. All right, we have made our verdict. So that is it for this episode of Bad Meaning Bad or Bad Meaning Good. And we'll see you next time.
Peace.